You may not understand this, but God has set forth your steps today. Would you turn to Psalm 37? Welcome to Sunday morning training session. Thank God we're not religious. Amen. Training for reigning. That's what it's about. Training for reigning. God tries to prepare us for everything that's coming if we're listening. Amen?
Amen.
Actually, if we're hearing. It's a lot of people that listen. You know the difference between listening and hearing? When a person's listening, they just go, yeah, 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 yeah. Just to shut you up. But when a person is hearing, they absorb it. They take it and they use it. Amen? So there's a difference between listening and hearing. In Psalm 37 and verse 1 through 8. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's speak it. Because what you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious or jealous of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust. Everyone say trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. That means feed on His promises, feed on His word. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Wow. Don't fret. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. Trust. Trust. In verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord. In other words, get out of the way. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the new day. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Again, don't fret, don't be jealous, don't be envious. Trust, rest, wait, dwell, feed, delight yourself. To delight yourself means there's an area of desire. Where the word desire comes, it means that there's a want. Is everybody with me? A desire always has a want. That's what every desire is. Now, how does a desire come? It comes by a voice. A voice. Behind every voice, there is a presence. Behind every presence, it's good or evil. One or the other. And every time this presence comes, it carries a voice. And when the voice is released, it releases a desire. And that desire imparts in an individual a want. Amen? Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So desires are wants. First three verses, let's speak them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is a desire? A want. Okay. So you and I should not want. Does everybody understand this? He's not saying there's not a desire. We should want His presence. We should want His will. There are certain desires and wants that are pleasing to Him, and there are certain desires or wants that are not pleasing to Him. So there's a place where you and I have to begin to discern the voice that's speaking to us.
Amen.
Those are called ears of faith. Ears of what?
Faith.
Let's go a little further. Okay, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Why does He make you lie down? So you can hear.
Amen.
He leads me by still waters. Why does He bring you by still waters? So you can hear. He restores my soul. Why does He restore your soul? Because your soul is the most crazy place to be.
Amen.
That's where all emotional syndromes are. So he says, he restores my soul. What does he do? He converts it to where it becomes quiet. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, the shepherd, if he's over the flock. So we're to follow the voice of the shepherd, aren't we? Amen? That's why he brings us to still waters. Do you ever notice sometimes that you become so busy and all of a sudden you hurt yourself or something happens? You know what he's doing? Making you lay down. Because he's been trying to speak to you, but you haven't been listening. Sometimes he tries to speak to us in our sleep because we're not listening. Or circumstances. Sometimes we get so busy and caught up in the world. That's where it says a soldier of the Lord cannot be involved in the entanglements and affairs of this world. That means they're so busy in survival that they haven't reached a place of surrender. And when you can't look at survival, you can't hear nothing. The only thing you hear is your own screaming. Ah! Me, me, me. I. Want, want, want. Need, need, need. But the word says something powerful. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things will be added to you. Oh, hallelujah. So there's a place where he restores our souls so that we can hear. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Remember, a want is a desire, isn't it? And a desire is a want. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then Jesus said again to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who were ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep did not hear who? The thieves and the robbers, those are voices of strangers. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It didn't say find pastor. It said find pasture, right? Praise God. The thief does not come except to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have what?
Life.
And that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. And they will what? Hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Again, the voice of the shepherd is Jesus. And through his Spirit, he speaks to me and you. He's called the Holy Spirit. What you hear is what you will desire. Everyone say, what I hear is what I desire. So you and I must have that filter where we are able to discern the voice of God. Or you'll be an individual that reacts instead of responds. You'll be an individual that is led by everything he feels or she feels instead of truth. And Revelation chapter 2. There's a time when you must begin to practice hearing the voice of God. As soon as you're saved. I always want to know his voice. It should be everybody's desire to hear God's voice. Revelation 2 and verse 7. Is everybody there? He who has a what? Ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the what? Tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So here we have, he who has an ear, let him hear. Why do we need to hear? To overcome. Because if you can't hear, you're not going to overcome. Your desires or your wants will always be misleading. Well, let's go a little further. Revelation 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who what? Overcomes. Why? Because without hearing, you're not going to overcome. Shall not be hurt by the what? Second death. Wow. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. And on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So these are all promises of hearing. Amen. The tree of life, not hurt by the second death, hidden manna, and a new name. So you and I must have what we call ears of faith. The word faith means connected to God's presence. But ears of faith are connected to God's voice. In Psalm 131. Now let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, which means the message of truth. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by what? Hearing. So we need to have ears of faith. And by hearing the word of God, in other words, the word of God means when God speaks also. It's not just what's written. Does everybody get it? Remember, faith is a connection to God's presence. It comes by hearing his voice, his word, his counsel, his corrections, his instructions, even convictions. The voice will bring a desire. His voice will bring a desire for me and you. But the enemy's voice will bring a desire also. That brings a want, doesn't it? Amen? So your faith in this, as we hear God's voice, it means that we are connected. We want ears of faith that is connected to God's voice. We're always willing to hear. But we must be careful. If you cannot discern what you're hearing, then you'll be living out of the soul and not out of the spirit. Because then you'll be making decisions in how you feel instead of what truth is. You'll be a person that's easily offended. Because people living out of the soul are easily offended. Amen? They're reactors. Nuclear reactors. Psalm 131. Some of them are walking time bombs. Oh, yes. Ears of faith. You need to exchange your ears every day. Lord, grant me ears to hear, eyes to see. Exchange my hearing for your hearing. Psalm 131. Jesus came to pay the price. He exchanged everything on the cross. So you and I can exchange everything. Anything. Come on, how many times you exchanged something you bought was wrong. Wrong size. Didn't work right. Need to go exchange it. Sure don't hesitate with that, do you? Sometimes you want your money back. Praise God. Lord, exchange your debts. Lord, I give you my debts. Amen? For his prosperity. Lord, exchange my heart for your heart, my will for your will, my thoughts for your thoughts. Exchange. Get rid of you. Exchange especially your presence. Amen? We want his presence. Attitude, motive, desires, all of those things. Man, get rid of. Empty you. Amen? Psalm 131, verse 1. Is everybody there? Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Why? Look, he's going to say it. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, so he's not caught up in everything. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Powerful. What did he do? He quieted his soul so he could hear. Why? Because your soul has got more desires than you can handle. They bring false desires. They bring false comfort. There's false concerns in your soul. And the problem is there's lack of faith to trust. Lack of faith to trust. See, you must sow your way for everything. What you sow is what you reap. One of the greatest ways you can show God that you love him and trust him is by worshiping him. And as you worship, you're sowing in the spirit, you're reaping life. You're actually strengthening your spirit, man. You're getting filled and refreshed. Because being filled with the spirit is the number one thing that you and I need to do every single day. Because if you can't be filled, you can't hear. Your soul will tell you everything. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2. That's why the enemy loves to keep people out of the presence of God. What do you think prevented them coming in the presence of God? False desire. Fear. Concern for something else. Instead of being concerned for being filled with God's presence. See, for me and you as Christians, God's will is the number one thing. God's will. My family is not the number one thing. The ministry is not the number one thing. Nothing is the number one thing but him. That's it. Nothing else but him. And when he stays number one, everything falls into place. It's when he becomes, what did he say? He warned the people in the church. He wrote a letter to them. He said, you've lost your first love. What do you mean my first love? I still love you, Lord. Yeah, well, you lost your first loves to do what I'm asking you to do. And you're doing what everybody else is asking you to do. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yes, he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We will not know the mind of God until we know the voice of God. Does everybody understand that? You will not know the mind of God until you know the voice of God. And Luke 9. God speaks to us daily. Sometimes he has to speak us through circumstances. Amen? Everything has a voice. When you come to a stop sign, you know what the stop sign says? Stop. You know what the green light says? Go. You know what the bed says? Sleep. We won't go any further than that. Luke 9. In verse 23. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. So we can get people's minds back focused here. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires, if anyone what? Desires. Is desire or want? Yes. He said to come after me. Now, would that desire come from the devil? No, it come from God. No man comes to the Father unless he what? Draws you. So if anyone desires to come after him, he says, let him do what? Deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow. Of course, taking up his cross means pulling the sword out and fight. Because you can't fight. You can't follow without a fight. The enemy's going to always prevent you from following. So you got to fight your way to follow. Amen. Are you ready? 24. For whoever desires to what? Save his life or what? Lose it. Now that desire is not from God. He's not saying save your life. That's where people live in survival. Quit trying to save your life and save others. You and I can't save nobody. But we can live a life where we can be an example for someone to want to be saved. Amen. That's all you and I can do is direct them to Jesus. He's the Savior. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Save it. For what profit is it a man to if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? Wow. Desires come after you want to follow him. So look at, if you're following, you're now feeding off of him. Does everybody get it? If you're following him, you're feeding off of him. If he's number one to you, the first thing you get up in the morning is you seek him. You may grab a cup of coffee on the way. Amen. But you seek him. You go after him. You welcome him. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I need to open up a show that says, good morning, Holy Spirit. They used to say everyone said, good morning, America, you know. They need to go beyond America. They need to go into the eternal arena. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Welcome him. Amen. I can't save anyone. I can only be an example and turn them on to Jesus. If they see Jesus in you. So there's an area. Again, like I can't save my family. I can only be an example to them. Amen. Tell them the truth. So there's an area you and I must be consistent. You can't have an upright life without consistency. Amen? And by being consistent, that means being consistent and connecting yourself to God's presence. Being connected to God's presence. Being connected to God's presence. That's consistency. And you do that through worship and corporate worship. And when you're connected to God's presence in a constant arena, and you're hearing the words and you're hearing God's voice, your ears begin to connect to God's voice now. It's called ears of faith. And now you want to just hear what he's got to say. And then there's times he'll give you vision, and you'll hear what the vision is. I mean, y'all heard 1,000 words is a picture's worth 1,000 words? Because sometimes God has to speak to you quickly, and he'll speak to you in a vision because the words will be too much. Oh, hallelujah. So what happens is, you and I need to be consistent to connect and quick to disconnect to the world. Consistent to connect and quick to disconnect from the world. In other words, when you sense yourself making that mistake and being misled, stop and disconnect from it and get reconnected to God's presence and reconnected to his voice. When you sense, you should discern, you and I should discern every desire that comes. Lord, is this desire from you or from my soul or from my flesh or from the enemy or from my past? We all carry desires in us, every one of us. We're nothing but a bag of desires. But we must discern what desires are going to be released and which one needs to be thrown out. Amen. Which ones we're going to obey and which ones we're going to reject. You know, think about addiction. Addiction is a desire. In fact, desires can become lust. Lust is an overwhelming desire. That's all it is. So addicts, when I was an addict, I was in lust. I wasn't concerned about women. I was concerned about getting high. That was my number one desire when I was an addict. I was lusting over the dope. I was looking to fulfill the demons in me that I didn't know. I was feeding them. And they spoke all the time. They wanted. And they gave me conniving schemes to get what I wanted. Whether it was to steal, to cheat, to lie, whatever it was. To fulfill that overwhelming desire. No matter what it was. And some people are still doing that now. They're still doing it over materialism. Oh, hallelujah. So you and I need to be consistent, making connection to God's presence. And so that you and I can be alert, which is called discernment. So that you and I can discern. Amen? And we can discern what these desires are, where these wants are, and where they're coming from. Go to Matthew 16. Listen, there is so much distraction in the world, we don't want to be misled. Amen? Matthew 16. Ears of faith. In verse 21. Is everybody there? From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. I think they forgot about that part, raised the third day. At least Peter did. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Again, Peter didn't hear that he was going to be raised the third day. That's all he heard was Jesus was going to be killed. And Jesus had a wonderful answer for him. So he turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Nice. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God or desiring the things of God, but the things of what? Men. Mindful of things of men, not God. Wrong voice. That was that soulish arena in Peter. He wanted to protect Jesus. Can you imagine trying to defend God? Like he needs it? Oh, hallelujah. It was the wrong voice. It was the soulish voice. And that soulless voice speaks loud and clear. And you've got to be very careful to discern it. Go to Acts chapter 5. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to a place where we begin to discern more of the desires and wants in our life. In other words, he's saying, acknowledge me. Well, Lord, is this desire from you? Is this want from you? Or is it something that I personally want? And don't get me wrong. God sometimes gives you the desires that you want. Does everybody understand that? But he doesn't reward disobedience. And he's not going to give you a desire that's going to cause you to stumble. Now people are praying, Lord, give me a bunch of money so I can... He says, forget it. You haven't used correctly what I gave you already. Amen. And you want more? You know, the Lord says to me, he says, when you use up what I gave you, then I'll give you more. So see, we must become faithful stewards of God's things. And then he'll bless you. In fact, he already knows what your desires are. And he'll surprise you with a special desire. It's like, whoa, Lord, I didn't even know. I didn't even ask for this. And he gave it to you. Because that's a reward for being faithful. Amen? Amen. But if you're not faithful, you won't get rewarded. You'll be searching out your own rewards. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want you to know that a great revival broke out here. It was phenomenal. People were getting healed. All kinds of stuff were going on. Everybody was putting their money together. Everything was being distributed. And they sold their house. And they said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you all the money. You know, man, you don't have to give us all the money. No, we want to give you all the money. Okay. Praise God. We'll distribute it according to feed, clothing, shelter. Those are in need. Well, so something happened. It says, and he kept back part of the proceeds, and his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the voice that came to them was a desire that said, hold back some for you. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In other words, you could have been honest about it. You know what? I think we're going to just give 99% and keep a percent because we could do this. Okay, cool. But they lied about it. They lied. And they deceived, thinking that everybody, well, they gave it all. But it wasn't true. See, you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. He knows. That's why he said, while it still remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. I think if this kind of revival broke out right now, half the body of Christ would be dead. And the young man arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you agreed?" Remember, we just did a teaching called false alignments. False alignments. False alignments were what? Aligning yourself with the voice of the enemy. It's a false agreement. Amen? How is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard. I bet you everybody started telling the truth. They were living out of the soul, not out of the spirit. It was the wrong voice. Its concerns were all about self. It was emotional. No ears of faith. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. In verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17, it says, "By faith." By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, here Abraham heard the voice of God, and he says, "I want you to offer your son Isaac." I'm sure he had to struggle with that for a minute. I mean, kill my own kid? Yes. See, God was testing Abraham whether his family was first before him. Does everybody get it? And the Lord said, "Whatever you want, I'll offer him up." See, but also Abraham knew that Isaac was a seed. He was the seed of righteousness. And he had to be alive to fulfill the promises of God. So even if Abraham killed him, he knew he had to raise him from the dead. Because he had that faith. He had that connection with God. He had ears of faith. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Ears of faith are connected to the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you lock your kids in the car while you go do something. Amen. Hello? Amen. And don't offer up your kids these days. That's done and over with. The purpose of this is God tests us to find out whether our family and the things of this world that comfort us are first before Him. Amen. Does everybody get this? In fact, what does he say? He says, "Listen, only my disciples are ones that hate their family, their mother, sister, brother, husband's wife, and all the other stuff, if they want to be my disciple." But it's not real hate. It means that God's first every single day, no matter what. In every decision, He's first. In every purchase, He's first. What do you think, Lord? Amen? Amen. Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 4. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, and being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down right at the hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Powerful. So at many times, God has spoken in various ways. But now he has spoken through his Son. That's why Jesus came, to release the voice in the atmosphere. And when Jesus rose from the dead and sat next to the Father, there's something he released, and that was his Spirit. And he's called Holy Spirit. Go to John 14. John 14 and verse 16. Ears of faith. John 14, 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you in a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, and you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who keeps my commandments and has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Very powerful. So it's important that you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, staying connected to God's presence, and allowing our ears to be connected to his voice. Amen? In John 16, that's why it's important, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think Jesus commanded no one to leave unless they got baptized with the Holy Spirit? So they would hear his voice. John 16, 12. What did he say? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Again, we must be careful of familiar spirits. These are spirits that like to imitate the Holy Spirit. But you will discern by the desire or by the want. Amen? And I'm going to close at Romans 8. Ears of faith. It's going to take consistency, connection to God's presence, and alignment with his voice or his word. Everybody ought to be connected. You connected? Yeah. Too many people are connected to the wrong voice and the wrong presence. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are what? Debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, how are you going to be led? You must have ears of faith. These are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we who also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Do y'all know that hope is also a desire? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our... But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to who? The will of God. The will of God. Ears of faith. Faith comes by hearing God's voice, His word, His corrections, His counsel. How many times have we received counsel from the Lord and didn't do it? Amen. Amen? How many times conviction has come and just ignored it? And the reason for it, because people can't hold on to it, is because of the lack of connection to God's presence. Amen? Does everybody understand? Is everybody cool? Everybody got it? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask for your forgiveness, mercies, and grace, and repent for all those things that we've done and agreeing, aligning with the voice of the stranger. We ask you to complete the converting of our soul and bring discernment by connecting us not only to your presence, but connecting us to your voice. And we ask this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.